الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. My dear elders and brothers, respected علماء الكرام، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The topic that I have been given today is a topic that is not only essential for all of us to think about, but it's a topic which is really the essence of being a Muslim. It's something about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually asked us a question in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, is Allah not sufficient for His slave? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ. Is Allah not enough for you and me? Is Allah not sufficient for His slave? And it's a question we need to ask ourselves. Because in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who has taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extract him from every difficulty. Allah will find a way out for him from every difficulty. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah said, and He will provide for him from sources that he could not even imagine. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. The one who has tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to become sufficient for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us. The one who has Allah does not need anybody else. But having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an issue of understanding that you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a realization that we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give you an example, if you have a credit card in your pocket, I'm not advocating for you to go and get credit cards, I'm just giving you an example. If you have a credit card in your pocket, and this credit card has an unlimited, there's no spending limit on it. You can spend whatever you want. You want to go and buy a Mercedes, you can use that credit card. It's like that, you know, you can spend $1 million on it if you like. But this credit card is in your pocket and you don't realize that this credit card is in your pocket. And now when you are feeling hungry, and you are very hungry and you want to get some food to eat, and you go to your friend and say, Brother Radha, can you come with me to the shop? You know, I want something to eat, and please come and help me. Buy me a meal. Now what's he going to tell me? He will tell you, what is this thing? You are asking me to help you to buy a meal, and you have in your card this card in your pocket, a card where you can buy the whole hotel, the whole restaurant, you can buy the thing if you want. You want me to help you buy a meal? What is this? But why am I asking him to help me to buy a meal? Because I don't realize the value of the card. I don't know what this card can do. Ta'ala Allahul Amsal. We do not give a misal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The misal we give only is for us to understand. If it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah said, He is not comparable to anything in creation. But we give examples to illustrate. So who? Allah said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. The one who has tawakkul on Allah, Allah is sufficient for him. But who can have tawakkul on Allah? Only the one who understands who is Allah. The only one who can have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who understands the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you another example. If your son is in the market looking for a job, he's just completed his graduation or whatever it is, become an engineer or something, and he is looking for a job. And he gets a job, he gets two job offers. One job offer he gets from a small engineering workshop down the road from where you live. And another job offer he gets from General Electric, the major American multinational company. Listen to the example well. He is getting one job offer from a small engineering workshop. Maybe your friend owns it or something. So he says, Swanla, your son is graduated. Fine, ask him to come. I will give him a job. And simultaneously, your son also gets a job offer with General Electric, which is, as you know, is the largest engineering company in the world, big global multinational from America. And both the jobs are paying exactly the same salary. I want you to listen to the example carefully. Both the jobs, your friend's workshop and GE, are paying exactly the same salary. There is not one rupee more. What will you advise your son? Where will you ask him to join? The small engineering shop or GE? Tell me. What do you think? GE. Why? Because the azmat of GE is in your heart. Say, go work for a big company. You also know, I also know that the chances of getting fired are much higher in GE than in your friend's shop. In your friend's job, your son is probably going to have a special position because he's your son. It's a small workshop. If he does a little bit of good, the owner will immediately come to know. So his lifespan in that business is more secure and more solid. Whereas in a huge, big multinational corporation, one entry-level engineer is like a blade of grass. You know what I mean? Who is he? Probably even his hiring manager has not seen him, because usually the interviews are telephonic. The hiring manager is sitting in New York somewhere, he's hiring him on the phone. His hiring manager also wouldn't have seen him. Despite that, he will say, join that company because it's a big name. That name will look good on your CV. Yes or no? The question to myself and the question to you is, how good does Allah's name look on our CV? How aware are we that we just finished a salah where we said Allahu Akbar and where we made sajda, about which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when the Muslim makes sujood, he does not make sajda on the earth, he makes sajda at the feet of Ar-Rahman on his arsh. But the issue is, when we made that sajda, was this hadith in our mind? Were we aware? When we were making the sajda, were we aware that I am making sujood here, but this sajda is being recorded above the seven heavens? Were we aware? When we recite the Quran, when we read the Quran every day, and I hope we all read the Quran every day. If we do not read the Quran every day, we should read the Quran every day. Why? Why must we read the Quran every day? Because of the beautiful hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that when the slave recites the Quran every day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits. Hey, just think about this. Ajib. The position of the believer. My brothers, understand who you are. Understand who you are. You're not ordinary people. Understand who you are. The position of the Muslim, the position of the believer is something else. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah waits. And then, when the recitation starts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws the attention of those around him. Hey, who is around Allah? The Muqarrabeen of the Malaika, Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil. Allah draws their attention and tells them, listen, listen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the name of the slave. Hey. And Allah mentioned this in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said, Fazkuruni. What is after that? Azkurkum. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum.
You remember me, I will remember you. You mention me, I will mention you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is the hadith of Qudsi where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when my slave remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a gathering better than his. What is the meaning of that? It means that understand this and realize this, that as we are sitting here in this masjid in Sri Lanka, each one of us by name is being mentioned on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we are sitting here and we are remembering our Rabb is remembering us by name. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the gatherings for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His remembrance. He said, there are angels whose only job is to roam the earth and look for gatherings such as this, and may Allah count this gathering among those. And when they find a gathering in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being mentioned, those angels come and they call others like them and they fill the space and they pile up over one another until they reach the first heaven. There are things that we can see and there are things that we cannot see. And among the things we cannot see are the malaika who are sitting here. There are malaika sitting here. Between the two of you, there are angels. Between me and you, there are angels. Around me, there are angels. Around you, there are angels. Over our head, there are angels. Until the seventh, until the first heaven. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when the gathering is over, these malaika go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they go to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything, asks them a question, and the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the question is to establish the argument in our favor. Is to create witnesses for us on the day of judgment. Allah will ask them, where did you come from? And they will say, we came from this masjid in Colombo. And Allah will say, what were they doing? They will say, your slaves were remembering who you are. And Allah will say, what did they want? And the angels will say that they wanted your Jannah. And Allah will say, have they seen my Jannah? And the angels will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, they have not seen your Jannah. So Allah says, if they see my Jannah, what will happen? The angels will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, they will want it even more. Then Allah will say, then what else did they want? And the angels will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, they wanted to be protected from your fire. They wanted to your protection and they were seeking your protection from your adab. Allah asked them, have they seen the Jahannam? Have they seen my fire? Or they say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, they have not seen it. Allah says, what will happen if they see it? So Ya Rabbal Alameen, they will want your protection even more. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all His mercy and in all His grace, Allah says, you be witness on the day of judgment, that I will give them that which they were seeking, and I will grant them protection from that which they wanted protection from. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include all of us who will be mentioned on the day of judgment, inshallah. And then the angels say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, but there was a man who was walking by and he just stopped there for a little while. He saw some people sitting there, so he was curious, so he just was walking by. He didn't come with the intention of joining that majlis. He was walking by and he stopped there for a while. What is the hukum for him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he is also with them. Because anyone who comes into such a majlis will not be mahroom, will not be deprived of the blessing of that majlis. Are we aware? Alaysa Allah bi kafin abda. Are we aware of who Allah is? And are we aware of our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if we are not aware, my brothers, then we cannot get the benefit of that connection. That awareness is essential. So who is Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created trees. And as far as our knowledge goes, trees do not communicate with each other. Yes? Have you ever heard a talking tree? But you know what they found out? They found out that the acacia trees, in the savannas of Kenya and Tanzania, when the impala or when the wildebeest or when some other kind of antelope comes to eat from that tree, they found that two things happen. Number one, the acacia tree, the moment the antelope is biting some of the leaves to eat the leaves, the acacia tree secretes tannin, which is the same chemical which is found in tea also, for example. It secretes tannin into the leaves, which makes the leaves very bitter. So after eating a few mouthfuls, the deer does not eat anymore because it cannot bear that bitter taste. Now, if the matter ended with that, it would be amazing enough in itself. But the matter does not end with that. You know what they discovered? They discovered that on this savanna, which is maybe 100 miles wide, there are deer which come to one corner of the savanna and they are eating some acacia trees there. They found that trees which are several miles away from those trees simultaneously at the same time also start generating tannin. And they say that we do not know how, but those trees are communicating with all the trees in the savanna and saying, watch out, the deer are here, save yourself. Ajit, according to us, trees cannot talk, eh? They don't know how they do it, but they do it. They have measured actually in Africa groups, family groups of elephants communicate across not hundreds of miles, thousands of miles. Obviously, sound doesn't reach that far. So what is the means of this communication? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a bird that big, so small, 3.5 grams in weight, called the ruby-throated hummingbird. It's a bird of the rainforests of South America. It's found in Chile and Guyana and those areas. I used to live in Guyana once upon a time, and the first time I saw this bird in the rainforest, I thought it was a moth. It looks like a moth. Buzzes. It beats its wings at more than 1,000 RPM. And it's the only bird, the hummingbird is the only bird which can fly backwards and forwards and up and down and so on, because it has a long beak and it lives and survives on nectar. So it inserts the beak into the flower and drinks the nectar. 3.5 grams in weight. This bird migrates. Where does it migrate? It goes from South America all the way up to North America to the bank of the Mississippi River. A distance of over 2,000 miles. And part of that migration is across the Gulf of Mexico. The Gulf of Mexico is 600 miles wide. Now, this is not a water bird. This is a small bird. If it lands in the water, it's dead. Becomes fish food. How long does it take to go across 600 miles? 26 hours. What is the meaning of 26 hours? It means the sun, if the bird takes off at sunrise, the whole day passes, the bird is flying across the open ocean. Little bird that size is flying across the open ocean. Sun sets, night falls, pitch dark night, no moon, no stars.
The bird continues to fly across the open ocean, does not lose energy, does not lose direction, flies all night. Next morning the sun rises, 2 hours into the next day, the bird lands in the United States of America without a visa. That is the meaning of 26 hours of continuous flight. I'm sure there are some of you who think you are very fit, yeah? I'll give you a challenge. Do what a 3.5 gram bird can do and I'll give you $1 million. Go on your feet, whether you walk or run or crawl, travel 600 miles in 26 hours and I will give you $1 million. You think we can do it? Can any human being do it? Another bird, which has the record for the longest non-stop flight in the world. How long is the longest non-stop flight? This bird is called the bar-tailed godwit. It's a bird about that size, the size of a small chicken. Long beak, long legs, it's a wader, it eats fish and small crabs and so on by the seaside. This bird flies non-stop from Alaska to New Zealand. Takes off in Alaska, imagine the globe. Takes off in Alaska, comes all the way down to New Zealand. A distance of 11,000 kilometers. Does that in 9 days and nights. Continuous flight for 9 days and nine nights. No food, no water, no sleep. You know what they've discovered? They've discovered that half the brain of the bird sleeps, and the other half is awake, and after a few hours, the half which was awake sleeps, and the other half is awake. They have no idea how it happens. Ask yourself a question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about His power to feed, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah said, Allah is the Razzaq and Allah feeds by His power. So this Allah who is Razzaq, Udul Quwwat Al-Mateen cannot feed the ruby-throated hummingbird sitting in Chile peacefully and calmly and quietly in the rainforest. Allah is forced and compelled to send this poor little bird across 600 miles of ocean to the United States to go and eat a few flowers there. Why is it happening? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Razzaq Udul Quwwat Al-Mateen, cannot feed the bar-tailed godwit sitting in Alaska peacefully where it is. Allah needs, na'udhu billah, to send it 11,000 kilometers flying non-stop all the way down to New Zealand to eat. So why is Allah doing it? Another bird, called the bar-headed goose, which again takes off in Alaska. It has the record for the highest altitude flying. Bar-headed geese take off and they fly in flocks. And ajeeb the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bar-headed geese fly in flocks. And they form a V formation. They form a V formation because the goose in the middle at the spearhead of the V has to go through the wind, so it takes the pressure of the wind on its chest. And it opens the wind and the other geese follow, and for them the flight is easier because that one is making a lot of effort. And then what happens? After a while that one falls back and the next one takes its place. Ajeeb, eh? And they fly and they talk to one another. They talk to one another. I remember a morning, very early morning in Mysore, on the bank of the Krishna River. And I was sitting there very early in the morning. The sun had not risen yet. Sun was just the light of the sun was coming, and we saw the bar-headed geese coming in. You have to see them, subhanallah. They talk to one another. You can hear them a mile away, talking to one another, as they are coming in.
And may Allah forgive me, I was sitting there for something which is halal for us, but it is not good for the goose. I was sitting there to shoot some geese. But you know what those geese did? That day I didn't shoot any, but I mean, I got so taken away with what was I was seeing that I couldn't pull the trigger of the gun. But you know what they do? When you shoot the goose and one of them is wounded and falls, one more comes down and stays with his companion until he can take the companion with him or until the companion dies. Ajib, I still remember the scene. The sun was coming up and there was this V formation of geese which came into the sun, disappeared because of the light of the sun, and then came out again from the other side. Subhanallah. You know what height these geese fly at? They fly at a height of 35,000 feet. The same height at which your plane flies when you go from here to Australia or Malaysia or Dubai. Same height. For the same reason. Because the geese go up at 35,000 feet to hit the jet stream current, which is a current of air that circles the earth. And when they hit the current of air, they go at 1,000 miles a day at that speed. They are like arrows. The wind drives them. So they save a lot of energy. But you know the problem of 35,000 feet? The problem is at 35,000 feet, the temperature is minus 59 degrees Celsius. The temperature inside your fridge is minus 4 and you put the same goose into the fridge, it will freeze. But that same goose flies at minus 59 degrees Celsius. The second problem with 35,000 feet is that there is not enough oxygen to breathe. If you and I went up at 35,000 feet, you would be dead in less than a second because you would freeze to death. You wouldn't even, one breath you take and your lungs would turn to ice. But you know what they found? They found that bar-headed geese breathe better in the absence of oxygen, in low oxygen atmospheres. What are you saying in plain language? You are saying when there is no air, they breathe better. Subhanallah, Ajib. Ajib. Once again the question, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did He create all of these things, for what? He created it for one reason only. So that you and I understand the tafsir of His kalam. When He said, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْنَ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٌ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ. Allah said, do they not see the birds flying above their heads? Who is holding them up? Who supports them except Ar-Rahman? But our problem is we read the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if there is no creation, and we look at the creation as if there is no creator. Subhanallah. We have fractured our education system. We have fractured our education system. The education which was supposed to open our hearts and our eyes to the Creator produces atheists. Can you imagine something as insane as that? How can you be an atheist? How can you be a learned person about the universe and you be an atheist? How is it possible? Because of the fractured system of education. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to educate. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah said, verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the day and the night, there are signs for people of intelligence. Who are the people of intelligence?
الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. People who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying down. The muttaqeen, the people who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who recognize their Rabb, the people who revel in the fact that they worship only their Rabb, the people who are conscious of their Rabb 24 hours of the day, who worship their Rabb as if they are seeing Him, and though they do not see Him, they know that their Rabb sees them, because their Nabi said to them when he was asked, أخبرني عن الإحسان يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى فإن لم تكن ترى فإنه يرى. When Jibreel asked him عليه السلام, in the famous hadith Jibreel, يا رسول الله, explain to me and tell me what is al-ihsan, and our Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Him, and if you cannot see Him, to know that He is seeing you. First sign of intelligence is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah said, wa yatafakkarun. He did not say, aw yatafakkarun. He did not create two groups, one who recognizes Allah and one who recognizes only the creation. The one who recognizes the creation does not understand the creator. The one who understands the creator does not know about the creation. This is our creation. This is not what Allah told us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa yatafakkarun. The people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned as intelligent are the people who recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they make fikr and research, and they search and they do scientific discovery, and they look into the universe. Everything, khalqis samawati wal ard. Into the inside of a person, into the outside of a person, into the atmosphere, into society, into nature, into the entire universe. And what happens when we have this beautiful combination of people who understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then who look at these birds, and who look at these beasts, and who look at the planets, and who look at the grains of sand on the beach? What happens to them? They say, Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batilan subhanak. Oh our Rabb, you have not created this in vain. You created this for a purpose. Subhanaka faqina adhaban nar. All glory and majesty to you. Save us from the hellfire. The people who are connected with Allah. Who were the people who are connected with Allah, my brothers? There was a man who was connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who told his people, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And he told his people, do not worship these idols which you make with your own hands. And this man, because of this da'wah that he gave, they decided to burn him alive. So they lighted a fire, a huge, huge, huge fire. The fire was so big that even they could not go near the fire to throw the man into the fire. So what do? They put him in a catapult, a war catapult. They load the catapult and they put him as the missile in the catapult. And now they are going to throw him into the fire by means of this machine. You know the man I'm talking about, yeah? And as they are going to cut the rope of this machine, what happens? His Rabb on whom he made tawakkul. Does he send down the rain? He could have sent down the rain. He could have ordered Mikael alayhi salam, blow out this fire. It's gone. What is this world and what is the size of this world to the malaika? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel is so big that if you take all the waters of all the seven oceans and put it on his head, not a single drop will fall. Very easy to imagine. Very easy to imagine. Take a tablespoon of water. When you go home, take a tablespoon of water. Catch an ant and drop it in the tablespoon of water. And then of course, please take it out before it dies, the poor thing. I mean, I'm not asking you to commit murder of the ant. Just as an example for you to illustrate. What will happen to the ant? For the ant, that tablespoon of water, what is it? Is it a tablespoon of water? For the ant, it, you just dropped him into the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I mean, you know. And take the same tablespoon of water after you have removed the ant from it and saved the ant.
take the same tablespoon of water and put it on top of your head, and believe me, not even a drop will fall off your head. Yes? So to imagine that Jibreel alayhi salam, one angel of Allah is so big that you put, but if all what we call an ocean is a teaspoon of water as far as Jibreel is concerned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went in Mi'raj, among the hadith of Mi'raj, he said, I saw the hamali, the arsh. He said, I saw the malaika which are holding up the arsh. And he said that that angel, there are four of them. And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create another four, about which he told us in the Quran. He said, there are eight. On the day of judgment, there will be eight. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that angel is so huge, that if a bird flies, takes off from the shoulder of the angel, it will fly for 500 years before it reaches the ear lobe of the angel. This distance from here to here will take that bird flying fast 500 years of continuous flight. This is Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya rahimahullah ta'ala said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا قَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, he said, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ وَإِلَّا لِيَعْرُفُونَ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being and the jinn to make ubudiyah, to worship Allah and to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they asked him, how do you have irfan of Allah? How do you understand Allah? He said, by reading his two books. They said, what two books? He said, one is the Quran and the other one is the kainat. He said, one is the open book of Allah, the universe. Because Allah said, iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. He said, read. In the name of the one who created everything. Read what? When this ayah was revealed, when Iqra was revealed, what was there to read? Nothing. Because that is the first word which was revealed. So Ibn al-Qayyim said, it means read the book of Allah which is the universe. سَنُرِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily we will show them our signs in the afaq, in around them, in the creation and within themselves, for fi anfusihim, hatta yatabayyana lahum, until it becomes clear to them, annahu al-haq, that this book is true, that this Quran is haq. So who had Allah? This man who was sitting in that machine about to be thrown into the hellfire, into the fire. Then what happened? Did Allah send Mikael and say, put out the fire? Did Allah send Jibreel and said, as Ibrahim alayhi salam is flying through the air, just take him away from there. Just like that. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted up Isa alayhi salam, lift up Ibrahim alayhi salam. Did Allah do that? No. What did Allah do? Allah told us what he did. Allah said, Qulna. Said, we said, Ya Nar, O fire, Kuni Bardan wa Salaman ala Ibrahim. The one who's connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly commanded the fire. Allah did not send an angel to command the fire. Allah directly spoke to the fire. Kulna Ya Nar, O Kuni Bardan. Allah could have stopped there. Oh, fire, become cold. The fire could have gone down to -100 degrees Celsius or -10,000 degrees Celsius. Allah Alam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam could have died out of cold. But the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always complete. Qulna ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Become a thing of safety. My brothers, the ones who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know that there is no power in anything in this world. It is not the power of the fire which burns. It is the hukum of your Rabb and my Rabb which allows the fire to burn. And when the hukum of your Rabb and my Rabb is to the fire to say become a thing of safety, the same fire. This is the shan, the kibriyai of our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. رَبِّ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ كَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِجَلَالِ وَجْهِكَ وَعَظِيمِ سُلْطَانِكَ. Rejoice and revel that you do not worship sticks and stones. Rejoice and revel in the fact that you make sujood only and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the shan and the power and the kibriyai of our Rabb that He does not need to send something to protect Ibrahim from the fire. He makes the fire a thing of protection. Ajeeb, eh? Ajeeb. He does not need to send something else to save Ibrahim alayhi salam from the fire. He makes the fire itself a source of protection for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Those who have Allah, alayhi sallahu bi kafin abda. Is Allah not sufficient for His slave? Who else had Allah? The child about which the magicians and the fortune tellers of Fir'aun told him that a child is going to be born among the Bani Israel who will destroy you and your kingdom. Imagine the power of that king. I don't know how many of you have been to Egypt, but if you go to Egypt, go and see the pyramids. Don't go and see the pyramids like the tourists go with your mouth open. No. Go and see with the eyes of Ibrat. If you go to see the pyramids, the biggest of them is called the Pyramid of Cheops. It's called the Great Pyramid. That is one of two structures which is visible from outer space. The second structure is the Great Wall of China. It's visible from outer space. It is so big. I cannot describe for you how big it is. It's like a mountain. Now imagine the wealth and the power of the king and the dynasty which could build a tomb of that size. What must their palaces have been like? What must their armies have been like? What must that civilization have been like? A civilization which built something like the Great Pyramid of Cheops. And the head of that civilization, the king of that civilization, was the Pharaoh Ramesses IV. They said to him that a child is going to be born among the Bani Israel who are your slaves, who will destroy you. So what does that king do? The power, the peak of arrogance, because he claimed to be God. He says, matter is very simple, just slaughter all their boys. Can you even imagine today, no matter how powerful any country can be, can you imagine any president or king giving that order in today's world? Can they even do it? He gave the order. He gave the order. He said, just what did they used to do? The moment they got news, they had spies everywhere. The moment they got news that a boy was born in a house, the soldiers would come, they would take the child, newborn baby from the mother, they would slit its throat and they would give back the body to the mother. Imagine what was the state of the Bani Israel there. They had to live under such circumstances. So now, it is the Mashiach of your Rabb and my Rabb that this child which was to be born and whose destiny was to destroy the empire of Fir'aun had to be saved. Now what would you or I do if we were put in charge of protection of this child? You would hide the child, you would take the child away somewhere, you would take the child out of the control of Fir'aun, yes? What does Allah do? وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we said to the mother of Musa, put him in a box and put him into the Nile. The Nile is a huge, huge, huge river. Many miles wide. And among other things, it is known for the crocodiles in it. The Nile crocodile is one of the biggest crocodiles in the world. And what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Put your child into a box, in a wooden box, and throw it into the Nile. This is the shan of our Rabb. Subhanallah. Why are these stories in the Quran, my brothers? Think about this. Allah has nothing better to do than to tell us stories? This is for entertainment? Or is it for Ibrat? Is it to tell us that, subhanallah, this is your Rabb, so what on earth are you afraid of? Why is there fear in your heart? Why are you worried about yourself? Why are you worried about your life? Why are you worried about this stupid belly of yours, whether it will be filled or not?
Why are you worried about your children and about this and that? Worry about only one thing, which is to connect with your Rabb. And then what happens? سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. We have made subservient everything that is in the heavens and the earth to you. Hey? How can there be fear in the heart of a Muslim? How is it possible? Allah wants to protect, what does He do? Throw the baby in the water. Alright, so fine, that's fine. Up to this point, good. Baby thrown in the water, maybe the river takes him away somewhere. No. The river takes him right into the palace of the Firaun. Right into the palace of the Firaun. Naturally, if you are the king of a country, you are sitting on the bank of the Nile, where is your palace? On the bank of the Nile. You want the waterfront, right? Everybody wants waterfront. So the river takes him into the palace. Even then, fine. Okay, river takes him into the palace. Nobody recognizes him somehow. No. Takes him into the palace. They pick up the child. They bring the child. Asiya radiallahu anha, the foster mother of Musa, she looks at the child. She falls in love with this child. But then, what does Allah do? Maybe the mother loves the child. Therefore, no. The child is brought to Firaun. What does Firaun do? Firaun calls his magicians, and he calls those people who prophesied, and they tell him, look at this child. Is this the one? They said, this is the one. They recognize, they said, this is the one. Allah does not need to fool anybody, my brothers. Subhanallah, Ajeeb. Allah does not need to fool anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hearts of people are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to show His Qudrat. They recognized the child. They said to Firaun, they said, Your Majesty, this is the one. Unfortunately, 70,000 others died, but they were not the one, the poor fellows, they just died. This is the one we were looking for. So now what should happen? They should kill him. What does Allah do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the fire which has the power to burn and makes the fire the guardian of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes Firaun and makes Firaun the guardian of Musa alayhi salam. Not anybody else, himself, Firaun himself. His wife comes to him and says, look, forget about all these jyotishis and all these josiars and vadyars and whatever else, forget them. There is a baby, the newborn baby, we bring him up, he will love us. How is he going to destroy anybody? We have no children, we adopt this child. And the man listened to his wife, and you see what happened to him, yeah? He listened to his wife. So now what happens? Allah's wada, what did Allah say to Musa alayhi salam's mother? He said, you put him in the water, we'll get him back for you, don't worry about it, just throw him in the water. He'll come back to you. So now, Musa alayhi salam, and we know the whole story, his sister goes and looks for him, he does not take anybody's milk and so forth, now they are in a panic, what do you do with this child, doesn't drink. And the sister comes and says, you know what, I know a woman, I think he will drink her milk. Oh, bring her, who is she, what is her? Now what happens? Now the Firaun, Musa alayhi salam, is now the prince of Egypt. He is being brought up in his own mother's house, and his mother is now getting a salary from the palace to breastfeed her own child. And obviously salary from the palace means that not only the mother eats, the entire family of Musa alayhi salam is now living in great luxury because the mother is now breastfeeding the son of the king, who is actually her own son. This is Allah. This is Allah. Who else had Allah? Two men who eventually had to leave their country. And there was a bounty of 100 camels each on their heads, dead or alive. Why? Did they rob anybody? Did they murder anybody? Why do you put a bounty of dead and alive on their heads? Only and only because they said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Only and only because they invited you to come away from the fire and into Jannah. The two men.
اثنين في الغار, they are in the cave. And one of them looks up and he sees the feet of the enemies who are searching for them. And he said to his companion, and this whole story is being told to us by whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is watching. Allah described this whole thing. And Allah said, وَقَالَ لِسَاهِبِهِ. And that's where Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu has this position of being the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Allah called him لِسَاهِبِهِ. لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَانَا. He said, don't be sad, don't be afraid. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, if they look down, they will see us. But how can they look down? Because who controls the eyes? Who controls the neck, whether it will bend or it will not bend? How can they look down? And how does Allah protect them? See this thing, Allah said about the weakest of the houses. Inna awhanal buyut labaitul ankabut. Allah said the weakest of the houses is the house of the spider, the web of a spider. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use to protect Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? What does Allah use? Does he put a steel gate? Web of a spider. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, Allah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, we sent down Sakina on them. And we helped them build junudil lam tarauha. And we helped them with forces and army that they could not see. Allah sent His malaika to help. Many, many years later, 10 years after that incident, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. It is the khilafah of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, a khilafah which is full of turmoil. There is ridda everywhere. People are threatening to come out of Islam. There is people who are attacking Medina. There are armies which are marching to overwhelm and wipe out Islam. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu himself goes out in Ghazawat. And they tell him, how can you go, ya Khalifatu Rasulullah? If you go, if you get killed, what happens? He said, how can I stay here when the deen of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in danger? I will go and I will fight. And all of this is going on. And people notice that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu has absolutely no anxiety on his face whatsoever. Nothing. There is no fear, there is no anxiety whatsoever. Everyone else is losing sleep and they are worried and they are concerned. What will happen to Medina? What will happen to Islam in its fledging stage, in its nurturing stage, in a very, very weak and very new nascent stage? It is about to be wiped out. And here is the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is in a state of complete peace. They went and asked him, this is Ya Khalifatu Rasulullah, how is it that there is not even a sign of care on your face? He recited this ayah of the Quran. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He sent down His sakina on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and myself. And He said, that day and today, He said, I have never felt fear or anxiety after that. He said, that was the only day I was afraid. He said, after that I was never afraid. Achieve the shahar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The connection with Allah. Very quickly now, therefore, how do we get this connection? I want you to remember 6 things. Number 1, we get connection. The first step of the connection was what I said in my khutbah in the afternoon. What is the first step? Tawbah. We make tawbah. We make tawbah and we remove all the stuff that we have in our heart, all the ghairullah in our heart, we throw it out and we fill our heart with the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make tawbah, the first step is to make tawbah. Go make a list of all the things that you are afraid of and cross that list out and tear the paper, throw it away and say, Allah, I am afraid only and only of you. Nothing else. Make tawbah.
Make our lives completely obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make a list of all the things in our lives where we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how small it is, and make a niyyah right now sitting here in the masjid saying, from today I will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any matter whatsoever. Do we make this niyyah inshallah? Inshallah. So first step, tawbah. Second step, make shukr. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man came to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He was giving a khutbah, and in the khutbah he talked about the importance of shukr. And as he came out of the door, a man came to him, and the man was in a bad state. He was very poor, and he was like a beggar, and he had some illness or whatever. He was hungry for a few days. He came to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab and he said, "It's all right, Amirul Mu'mineen, you say all these things about making shukr. Look at me, what do I have to be thankful for? What have I got? You want me to be thankful to Allah for what?" Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu told him, "Can you pass water, can you urinate without pain?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Thank Allah for that." He said, "Thank Allah for that." My brothers, you know and I know that it is the tragedy of the human being that he remembers the bounties of Allah only when it goes away. All your life you are running up and down stairs like a monkey who don't worry about your knees. Do you stop for a minute in the middle of the stairway and say, "Alhamdulillah, Ya Rab, you have given me knees that don't pain"? Did you ever do that? But a time will come, and may Allah protect you from that, and may that time not come on you. But I have that now. When if I go up the stairs, my knees tell me, "Excuse me, hello, we are here." My knees talk to me. Alhamdulillah, I'm still mobile, I still go up and down, but I'm just saying that I used to jump from that height, I could jump down here, no problem. Even now I can jump, but after that you have to carry me out from here because the jumping is not the difficult part, yeah? It's what happens after the jumping. It's a tragedy of the human being. How many of us who do not have to wear glasses? How many of us who do not have to wear glasses, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Alhamdulillah, Ya Rab, you gave me a 20-20 sight. I can read and I can have a distant sight also, no problem." You know when we will think about that? When you start needing glasses. Now you say, "Oh my God, I got to carry this thing on my face and it's difficult and it sweats and this and this." So make shukr, make tawbah, and then thank Allah. Once again, sit down with a piece of paper, write a list. I run a whole tarbiyah course, and that tarbiyah course we actually make people sit and do this. We have to do it. We must do this. It's not enough to simply come and listen to a bayan and say, "Mashallah, mashallah, go home." No. Sit down, make a list of all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one by one by one. Thank Allah for iman, thank Allah for tawbah, thank Allah for your health, for your money, for your children, for your wives, for your husband, for whatever you have which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number two. Point number three, sabr. Make a niyyah now that you will never ever complain about anything before anyone. Ready? Make the niyyah. Yes? Never again. Never again will you complain about anything to anybody. My father, subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him Jannah. He passed away in 2007. I requested to make dua for him. He was a doctor. And towards the end of his life, he had some health problems and he had to be in hospital for some surgery. So the doctor comes, the surgeon comes and asks him, "Doctor, how are you feeling?" My father says, "Alhamdulillah." So we are telling him, "Boss, please tell him what's wrong with you. I mean, Alhamdulillah is yes, but you are in the hospital. Something is wrong with you. So tell them." He says, "I'm fine." "You are fine, yes, but something is wrong." So we have to tell him, "Please explain to the surgeon what." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, last 2 months of his life, he was in a coma. He was in a coma for 2 months. But in that coma, he was dead to the world. I mean, they used to come, the doctor used to come and try to, see if there is any sign of consciousness. There was absolutely no sign of consciousness. Just that he was breathing and he had to be fed through a tube and so on. In a coma. In that coma, he would sneeze and he would say, "Alhamdulillah." Ajeeb. First time he did that, we thought he woke up. So we went and we called him and this, nothing. He is dead to the world.
And after that, my mother used to spend that 2 months, my mother sat by the bed, simply looking at my father. She would get up for salah, come back and sit there. That's it. 2 months. So as my mother said, he does it all the time. Every time he sneezes, he says, Alhamdulillah. In the coma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no one more faithful than Allah. If you are faithful to Allah, Allah is faithful to you. Allah will guard you. Sabr. So three things. What are the three things? Tawbah, shukr, sabr. Never again complain about anything. Nothing. Whatever happens, Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. The food is not good. Your wife cooked the food. It's not good. Alhamdulillah. How is the food? Alhamdulillah. Why? Because who is your razaq? Who is your razaq? Your wife or Allah? Who is your razaq? Your cook or Allah? Allah gave you the food. What are you complaining about? What are you complaining about? Is it possible for the cook to put more salt or less salt without the izn and hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it possible? No. Alhamdulillah. Tawbah, shukr, sabr. Three things. Three more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the three surahs, first three surahs to be revealed, the first one, but the first one there is no about the first ayat, not the entire surah, but the first ayat, there is no difference of opinion. About the other two, there is a difference of opinion, which was first, which was next. But we know that all three, these three were the first three. Which are the first three? Surah Al-Alaq, where Allah said, Iqra. So I want you to remember three words. Iqra. The second one was either Muzzammil or Muddathir. So Allah says, Ya ayyuhal Muzzammil, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So the second word I want you to remember is قُم. And the third one is يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرُ قُم فَأَنذِرْ. So the third word is قُم. اِقْرَى قُم قُم. Remember the three words? Now, what is the meaning of that? Allah is saying اِقْرَى means read. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that read meant recite what is being revealed. For us, read means to read. Because we are not really receiving any revelation for us to recite. The revelation, we have to read the revelation. So read. Read means what? Get ilm. Knowledge of Islam and then other things. But get the knowledge. Read. Iqra is read. Then, kum. Kum illa 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 qaleela. Stand in the night and connect with your Rabb. And then the next kum. Kum fa'anzir. Wake up in the morning, now go out and spread the word of this deen. Go and warn the people. Read, the knowledge is required for you for two things. One, the knowledge is required for you to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is no connection with Allah without knowledge. And the knowledge is required for you to go and warn the world. But knowledge is required for you to go and take the message of this Islam to the whole world. And that is the reason why the Iqra. Iqra, kum, get the power. Kum fa'andir, go and tell the world about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the world. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself to you. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Six words. Before I go to that, six words, six things to remember. What are the six things? Tawbah, shukr, sabr, iqra, kum, kum. Yes? Go and introduce Allah to His creation, because Allah introduced Himself to you. And what did He say? He first spoke about the greatness of His kalam. And He spoke about the effect that His kalam has and should have on us. When He said, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. What did Allah say? Allah said, if this kalam, if this book was sent down on a mountain, what does it mean? Does it mean just put the book on a rock? Sent down, nuzul of the Quran on the mountain means, if the book was understood by that mountain, if the mountain understood the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what would happen to the mountain? it would humble itself to dust. Min khashyatillah. Because of the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Allah say about the ulama? What did Allah say about the ulama? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that from the people, the ulama are the ones who have the most khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi ulama. What is the meaning of that? The Mufassirin have said, it does not mean that every alim has khashya. It means that only the one who has khashya is an alim. Because there are ulama who have no khashya. It means that only the alim who has khashya is an alim. There was a man called Bishr al-Hafi at the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. And Ahmad bin Hanbal used to call Bishr al-Hafi, he used to say, he is my sheikh. So somebody came to Imam Ahmad and said, Bishr does not remember too many hadith, he does not know too many hadith. Why do you call him your sheikh? Imam Ahmad said, he has the hasil of ilm. He has the essence of knowledge. They said, what is the essence of knowledge? He said, the essence of knowledge is khashyatullah. It's the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself by saying, that if my kalam was sent down onto a mountain, the mountain would humble itself to dust. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُ عَلِ النَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And these examples we give to the people so that they will think and they will reflect. I ask myself and I remind you, my brothers, what happens to our qulub, what happens to our hearts when we read and recite the Quran? Does anything happen at all? Because if it was sent to a mountain, the mountain would have humbled itself to dust, would have become dust with the khashyat of Allah. But alhamdulillah, we have mountains in our chest where nothing happens to them. Nothing happens to them. The entire kalam of Allah can be in our heart, but nothing, no change whatsoever. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. And then having introduced the topic of His grace and majesty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then introduced Himself. And with those ayat, I close my talk today. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن مؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك فإنه لا يضل من واليت ولا يعز من عديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك يا حي الذي لا يموت يا حي الذي لا يموت يا حي الذي لا يموت أجرنا من النار يا رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبي الكريم محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.